Welcome to the Cheltenham School Board Meeting Podcast, online at www.cheltenhamlocal.org or at www.cheltenham.fm.
Cheltenham School Podcast. Facilities Committee Meeting. Complete recording. February 6, 2017.
This committee meeting. Let's start with roll call. Ms. Hayden.
Joel Fishbein.
Bill England.
David Rackham.
David Cohen.
Stephanie Gray.
Brian Malloy.
Jane Quinn.
Okay. And I'll ask for approval of minutes.
So moved.
Conversation, discussion, everybody okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. First item on the agenda is the Cedarbrook construction update. Dr. Bobby.
Yes, Cedarbrook Middle School construction update. I have the floor plan of the construction sequence. The new area is the new gym area, and auditorium is a new business, and the B area is a new business classroom, a classroom hallway and lavatories. This is the picture of the auditorium. From the last time we did pour concrete, most of the concrete in some of that area, there is still some to do. They started building the walls now in the auditorium area. So this work is started moving out now. They are going to bring about 35 masoners, and so they're going to attack this a lot harder as get bigger, more into it. But they are doing pretty good with the pouring concrete now. This is another new business. This is a gym area. The excavation is all completed in the beginning of December, and then they started pouring the footing and the foundation wall is work in progress now. We did have a couple bad rainy days in the snow, and as a result, the site was all full of mud. We couldn't barely walk, so they didn't want to start, but they are back on it now again, and this work is going to go up soon.
That's the main gym?
That's the main gym, yes. And behind that is an auxiliary gym and the lockers. This is a C area classroom, first floor and second floor. The piping, the HVAC piping is completed through the halls. Domestic water is all completed. And as you can see, the door framing is all in, and they're starting sheetrocking in that area. So that work is moving on pretty good. All metal frame, and this is all plumbing in the first, second and third. The carriers are on, and the copper piping is all in work in progress at this time on the second and the third on the C area, which is the biggest area that we have. Classroom size, the electrical is they're pulling a lot of wires. The electrical work in all the classrooms work in progress in second and the third floor of the C area.
You're going to keep that industrial, so we're just going to keep that.
Reduce
the cost a little bit.
Yeah.
This picture is the locker room areas. They poured that, it's done now. And you could see that they're getting the job. When they come in, they do a lot in one day. And it was asked, this is again, in the B area, classroom area, it's all closed, they're all in, that place is heated, temporary heat. You can see all the hangar, they start running the pipes, the fireproofing is work in progress on the other corner of it, so they're moving around and the construction is moving. There is another floor of the C area, it looks the same, but it's not, they are just following the sequence of the work and the sheetrock work in progress. And that's a hallway. On the geothermal, all the wells is 100% completed. They're running the pipes, they're going down about four feet, and they tie all the wells to the main, and the main is going to go to the big area that we call vault, and all the connection is going to go to that, and from that going to go to the boiler room. They're way ahead of themselves. And they're over 60% completed in this. One of our board members, Sahade, smoothed The concrete, this is how they do it. They just sit there and drive the machine.
It's like a
Zambo. So they're not sitting there and moving it.
Like I used to do. Play hockey, huh?
No, that's right. That's exactly how I did it. He did that the whole area in like not even 2 hours. Inspection. We do this every month. I just brought it up so you guys can see how many inspections getting done during every month. Tunnel inspection, the field inspection is 22. I get every single one of them from them. Garland roofing, they're manufactured. They inspect 6 roofing inspections. Keystone, our third-party inspector, which is worked directly for Township. We pay. It's 16 inspection. They do all our building part of it. DBA, their testing inspection. They're on site every day. 21 inspection they complete. I receive all 21. LIEB. For a structural steel, I don't know if you guys remember that we had a structural steel work. That work is started now, and that work in progress. And they completed 3, Busher and James, the township site engineer. They are there every day, almost. And they did complete an 11 inspection, written inspection that we received. Liberty Mutual, our safety site inspection, OSIP, 2 inspection, and Gilbert Architect, it did 3 inspections. So a total of 81 inspections and we did during this month. This is always gonna be like that, but I just brought it up so everybody can see how we do our work. This is the cash flow chart. It's a summary of how we pay, and this is again every month we review all the documents. So if you look at the left side upper, you're gonna see each contractor, how much the bid was, how much we got out of them. And if you look at the percentage of the, for example, GC Borough, 35%, 29%, 30%, and 41%, you come down to actual cash flow, well, how much we pay, you could see that we pay to all the contractors $16,633,168, and that at 38%. We pay them up to 38%. But we are really at 49% right now. So we are having a 10% differential that they're behind pay. We're doing very good on that. And that was another areas that in last facility meeting that asked me to bring them. This is all. I think that's for the...
Before you go to the next one, are there any questions on this table?
Dr. Bible, could you go to the last slide? What is gross WIP forecast estimate? What does that stand for?
These are the forecasting they do for a future, what they think the bill's going to come to. But that they're not accurate. It's all forecasting. The actual is where we see that the $16 million and each month how much we pay.
Okay. And then the second question I had, on one of the earlier slides, you said the piping was in, including the copper piping. What's the security on that building? Because I know that we had issues when we were, you know, first tearing it down, where we had a lot of vandalism. So
right now we're doing very good. And the cost of the security is very, very expensive at Echelon. And we run a 2-shift, second and third. And it was a lot of money we had to pay for Cheltenham Elementary up to now. We're doing good. Nothing happening. So we're moving on.
Okay, so
if any incident happens, we're going to go back.
We do have security on site.
Patrolling.
We do not have a security at night. The only security we have is a police officer that patrolling at night. We do during the day, and contractors, it's not really good to them. And that site is a little bit different than Cheltenham. And elementary is kind of the top in the corner. So we do, I mean, we lost a lot of copper.
Yeah,
we remember that.
First, yeah.
But right now, but it's the first incident that happened, we all gonna change. We're gonna go back to see what happened here, and right now, we believe we're secure.
Is there a concern whether or not we actually have a security officer or some security personnel monitoring that construction site?
Yeah, the reason why is because we did have vandalism when we were tearing down the
building. Yes, we did.
Of the copper piping, and this is now copper piping, very expensive, that's already been installed. So obviously we don't want to lose any of that to vandalism again. So my question was, do we really have 24/7
security? These are the hours. The contractor, you noticed on the 7:30. So he's taking the site from 7 to 3:30. That's his site. From 3:30, the second shift and the third shift, we do not have any security to patrol or stay there permanently. We did have it in the past, but we don't have it during construction.
But we have a lot of lighting, right?
We do have all the lighting are all on. That was one of the advantages with it. We have good fencing that we have, we lock up, and we have a very good fence in that area. Rolando actually talked to our police department. They are patrolling there a lot more often. Some of them, they go there and sit there at night. Children in the school district, we do not have echelon or army floor to go there and do that for second.
Who becomes responsible for theft of property? Since construction is only allowed to be there from 7 to 3:30, what happens when there's a loss? Do we, our insurance takes that
if
in?
If it's over $10,000, our insurance will pay. It's under $10,000, we pay.
The actual cash flow versus gross WIP, the numbers obviously are significantly lower. Is that because they're behind the schedule that was set up, or are they coming in under budget?
No, they are. The budget is a budget that we prove it, and that's on the top. That the actual, that's how much we pay. We negotiate each payment. Each payment goes to a pencil copy, and the actual payment, which is just come in the AI document that I signed.
Based on the work that was performed.
Right. So when the borough constructor sends us the payment, it's maybe 30 pages of the line items. And we go to each line and we click that, you're not here, you're there. But overall, if you look at the whole construction, we are at 49% according to our construction manager, what we pay at 38%.
So they're under budget by 11%.
Under billing.
It's not budget.
Under billing.
Yes, under billing. Right.
Under budget.
We're not saving money.
We're not saving money, but we're not paying.
Under billing.
We are paying, we're just not up to the
They are going to catch up. That's the
only thing that changes. Yeah. It's not under it.
Bill, did you have a question?
I had a question.
Let's move out of this.
With Dr. Bobby, the roof, how much of the roof is now finished?
The final roof project is non-existent, but the percentage of the deck that they finished, I think, they're over like 80-some percent of the C areas.
It's not leaking, is it?
No, stop it. It's not. Yeah. Yeah. But the first layer would really hold everything. But there are a lot of different areas.
I'm not sure why we just announced what our security schedule is, but be that as it may, and we just did, I would suggest that either between our people and the police, that we vary that schedule so it's not predictable when nobody would be on site. I think that's just...
We have no, our people, our safety officer, they're all working the first shift. They're working all the first shift. We have one just on the high
I understand. My point is that if you announce what your security schedule is, it doesn't take a whole lot. If somebody's bound and determined to do something, it doesn't take a whole lot of planning then to make their job a whole lot easier. So one of the ways, even though you don't necessarily have to increase the amount of coverage, you just vary the coverage so it's not totally predictable that there's nobody there to do things.
I think the access points are significantly different than previous situations. And I think that the actual construction site, the ability for a individual to, what they would need to take and the vehicle that they would need to bring onto the property and the man/woman power to kind of move those things would be extensive. Since there's been several concerns about that in the questions, we'll review that. We have not had any situation so far with that, but we'll We'll keep an eye on it and see if we need to revamp and rethink that process. And we'll follow up with Borough to determine if they believe there's anything there that might be something that can easily be taken. But being on that site, to traverse that would be quite challenging. Even though we do have officers who patrol that area, it would take some, not that thieves are not crafty individuals, but we'll follow up and see if there's any additional precautions we need to take.
Okay, thank you.
My suggestion would be, I think we should build a wall but have Abington pay for it.
Oh, okay.
This is something I thought of right now.
Strike that from the minutes.
Okay. Sorry.
I thought we were doing that anyhow.
Any other board questions? Questions from the public?
Lorna Rosenberg, the EAC. Ray, are the inspections, would you consider those as ongoing commissioning or commissioning?
Commissioning,
yeah, so
we're not even there
when
yet.
The HVAC is already.
No, we're not. The commissioning guys, they come in maybe another 5 months, and they're going to be there every day. That's completely different. Are we going to add another firm to this firm that will
right.
be commissioning?
Okay, thank you. Next item is the oil contamination update.
Cedar Brook and C area oil contamination area. The purpose is to approve a change order from Borough Construction and Electrical, the two companies, and JBM Plumbing to remove the contaminated soil and replace with a new clean soil area. Just to bring to board attention, the areas that we're talking about is already some concrete was done before, you know, we find out about all these problems, and some of the plumbings went through and some of the electrical went through. When the scope changed, we had to go back again, so there are costs involved with all that. So the cost estimate that we brought to the board, we came up with two options. These are both options came from Mangan Environmental. They're our consultant, environmental consultant. Option one, based on the budgeted, not actual. Actual was it, when the biggest bid is the actual. The actual that I have in my hands is a lot different than budget. Our construction was budgeted at 203, electrical is 22, plumbing at $15,000. The total days to complete this work was 85 days. And that was one option that we brought to it. Exactly the same, the slide that we brought to the board, which is Langan's slide. Then option two was look into if we cap it, we continue with the project that we're doing, and the only cost that Langan thought would be additional cost of the administrative reporting, testing, and so forth. And they didn't believe any delay claim would be in this because they just want to give the contract a notice to proceed, and they would proceed that. This option was approved by a board in that meeting. Since then, we did gave the option to the Borough Construction and told him to proceed. He wouldn't proceed with just the letter. So he came back, he said, I need the actual, what are you talking about? I need some direction from the environmental. Langan did send a letter through the architect to Borough Construction, and as soon as they got the letter, they said, we're not gonna do anything with this project. We are not environmental people. This is a school district problem. We are construction guys. We do not have insurance, and we really don't wanna do this. So we set up the quick meeting, and the reason for that was because we cannot go hire another contractor. We had to bid it. My goal was to make sure the Borough Construction do this work. In that meeting, they came back and they said we need to hire a hygienist to tell us the scope of work, and we don't know how to do this work, and tell us exactly the scope of work, how much has to be removed, and if our guy's gonna go there, we need to have a training, and they gave us a training of $80,000 they want for OSHA training for their guys, and plus the other cost that it was unknown. The note is that they did not have the insurance, and also we did not have, we don't have the insurance for this work either. So when, after many meetings going back and forth, they were able to find the contracted dollars. They haven't, and they came out with the estimate of the total project, and it was $270,000 plus the electrical that would bring the total cost to removing all the contaminated soil, placing it, doing all the electrical work, removing this slab, this existing slab, pouring new slab, and this option was not approved by the board, and our problem still would be the same, that we're under 18,500 bid threshold, and the project is obviously more than that. If we have to go out, we have to bid it, and we have to hire the hygienist to write the scope of work, bid the job, and hire the contractor to do the work. There's two, some issues involved with this. After we remove the soil, we have to test it, if the tests come, and that's, again, that would be additional cost that we have to pay. That's the risk that we're taking. And also, if the soil becomes to be very rocky soil, and that would be additional cost, which is we're hoping it won't be. The total contamination disposal of the truck is 950 tons, and then we got all the unit price from them, and the unit price actually was too low. It wasn't really actual, so we had to go back and find the actual unit price from Langen, and then we went back and forth, and then we all comfortable with the unit price that they gave us to do this, how many tests and all that. So I did contact our plumber, and he has a small amount of work, that's 15,000. The summary of this is that the administrator recommend the approval of a change order for Borough Construction and Borough Electrical for a total amount of $325,625.89, and JBM Plumbing for $15,000 for total project of $340,625.89.
Board questions?
So Dr. Bobby, I just wanted to clarify then, the cap and seal is option that we had approved, that's not currently even a viable option.
The capping and the contractor, we were hoping to go there and do the work. He said he doesn't want to work in the contaminated area. As we did find out after, several weeks after.
I just had a question about that. Also the captain and capping process, if the Borough Construction is not willing to do that, is it possible that another firm could be engaged to do that?
Another contract, yes. The only problem we would have to write the scope of work. And for us to write the scope of work, we have to hire an industrial hygienist to write the scope of work to give us exactly that, how to proceed. Mm-hmm. Then we have to go through the bid process. We have to advertise it 3 weeks, that's based on the state law, and then have a bid opening and a proceed. So that would take about at least 4 months.
So the option that we fell in love with is gone off the table. There was some issues there with the presentation, the way it was, whatever, that's gone. So at that point in time, as you showed a couple slides ago, option one was $540,000. We're now looking at $340,000. So this is, you said this is based upon some actual more number crunching to get to $340,000,
right,
as opposed to just an estimate.
Right.
And minimal delays with this approach?
This is scope of work. When we came out, you see the Langen estimate was 85 days, and the new scope of work that we put in, which is exactly the same area and all that, we didn't cut the square footage, and they saying that they can get it done in 2 weeks.
So that's removal, transportation to wherever it has to go, and then it's no longer their responsibility. It's taken to a site that's designed for this, bringing in the new, compacting it, then they can get back to the construction, the plumbing, the concrete.
And we are not We have nothing to do with this. We're just paying them. That's their insurance, their scope of work. We just hold them to the map. During that period, we have a Turner Construction Stadium right there and monitor the whole thing during that 2 weeks.
So lastly, their subcontractor, who they bring in, which they can do, they don't have to go back out through the process that you would have to go out. They will have all the liability for the handling the work, handling the material, and turning that space back over to the general contractor.
Both of the, from the school district side and the construction, the prime contractors, we both are clean. He's taking all the responsibility.
And this is what he does?
This is what he does. This is, he's in the airport.
And we're not anticipating any significant delay in the progress of the job towards completion in November based on the changes that you're talking about now?
We did talk to them that the 2 weeks is not going to add, but we have to remember the project, it was August 17th, from August 17th to today, it was nothing done in that area, which is just like a lot of sequence. Indirectly, they told me that they would like to get out of here in mid-November. All three of them said that.
And they're all, and they're still anticipating being able to do that despite the delays.
With this one, yeah.
And the one other thing that I'd like to clarify for me and the community is that the general contractor felt uncomfortable doing the work in part because Langen Engineers, who were giving us the environmental analysis, gave them reason to be concerned about the safety of working in that area,
yes,
even though Langen had told us there really aren't very many safety concerns,
yes,
with respect to this oil. I just wanted to make sure that that was out there.
Any questions from the public?
Sure. What's the explanation for, as the point was raised, why did the same company give two different pieces of advice? If I understood what you were saying, that the board got one set of information and they gave the contractor conflicting information.
No, it wasn't as the way it's the,
okay,
they gave the contractor exactly the lab result and all that. On top of that, they said to the contractor to play it, I think, I could be wrong, to play it safe, to just to make sure your people that go into this site and work in our OSHA trained. That's the only thing they said. They didn't say anything else. They didn't say this is a hazmat area, this is going to kill you. They didn't say anything. The contractor, as soon as you find out this is, you have to train his people, the OSHA training, to go there. And they said, well, what do you mean by that? Do I have to suit up? And so that's kept going, and he started getting worried about it. And he didn't want to go there because he didn't have the insurance for his people, and they were in OSHA training.
Okay. Any other questions?
Dr. Bobby, I know that after they, after the board reviews this, and if they approve it, then they would go in and take out the soil. After that process is done, which we think will be just 2 weeks, there's additional testing of that soil after that, correct?
Yes.
Who does that testing?
At this time, it's part of their scope of work and Bowers to do the testing. Obviously, as soon as those tests completed, it goes to the lab. Lab is the one going to tell us. And then we take that testing, review it, and if there's more work needs to be done, obviously we come back to the board and say there's more tonnage has to be removed. If there's nothing, we give that result, which is a lot of paper, we give it to the Langen so they can complete their work on the phase one environmental study.
Is there any additional review by DEP in terms of the soil testing once it's removed?
No, they go with Langen report. They brought that up. They said that they have as soon as they get that, they put a whole package together. Langen would be responsible for it. As soon as they get the report, to report that, to document that, we have to have a case number on that, and they complete their studies. We need to have that for our record, not just on this, on all asbestos and oil tank removal, PCB removal. We have so much hazmat in there that Langen has, they're doing that work already.
I'm just curious, just ask, once it's all done, is there additional groundwater testing that gets done periodically?
Not periodically. I think that was just the groundwater testing. Langen recommended it, and they are going to do it. Just maybe one or two. I don't know how many. I don't see it in front of me. But they are going to do that.
So that testing also occurs with that two-week time period?
After.
So
after they remove it, they're going to run the test.
So they're going to remove it, run the test, and then they're going to fill it in. So I guess my question is it 2 weeks or is it longer? Unless I'm misunderstanding.
No, they're gonna. The 2 weeks, they told them 2 weeks, they're going to do their work. When they get done, they're going to run their test. They can fill it in until the test result come back.
Right, so that's my question. So if they excavate and extract the soil, then it goes for testing. Testing would take a certain time period. They have to wait for the test results, I assume, before they then fill it in.
3 days.
Oh, 3 days? Okay.
It's just 3 days.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. I'll just make sure what's going to be.
A little bit more, they go faster.
That's fine.
Okay.
Sure.
Any other? I was just
wondering if there were any other kinds of, is the industrial hygienist who's doing the work is also doing the testing, correct?
No, we don't even hire industrial hygienists.
The contractor? The contractor.
Yeah, it's always, this is the same. They do removal, and then they hire an independent testing company to test it, and they send it to independent lab to test it.
Oh, that was my question.
They're in the construction work. They're not in the
testing.
During the construction of the removing of the hazmat, not the testing.
But that's similar to the work on the site. All these tests that you just talked about, these inspections, these are third parties. So you've got the people out there. All the concrete that we saw being poured, they take samples of that, and that goes off to a lab. And the steel welds, that goes off to a lab.
And that's why I'm not, in the last meeting they asked me how about the concrete cure or not, we don't really care. We test it, if it comes negative, we have to remove all that concrete. And we did that.
I'm sorry, kind of related to the independent testing of the soil. So DBA, who's testing the soil as we're doing the construction, would not be the entity that would do the
No. That's a hazmat testing. DBA doing different testing than you don't know.
Good. All right, let's move to the high school architecture gym renovation.
The high school, Cheltenham High School gym renovation, the purpose is to hire an architectural firm to design the gymnasium renovation and the new roof. That's all part of one scope of work. This is our gym. Our custodian doing a beautiful job to clean and shine that place. But we do have a lot of problems in that area. We've been having a problem.
Don't let the shiny picture fool you.
Good.
Please do not see that. It's
beautiful. Our custodian worked very hard to give him credit.
I said, don't polish that before we talk about construction.
No, they do good work. So here they go. These windows have been their original windows, and they're all leaking from above it and into it. So in the past, we went there and caulked all the windows. We're still having a problem with the roof part of it. The water gets and it comes down. When it comes down, it goes through the base and it goes right under it. And then when the water will cause the decking, the hardwood floor decking, it will come up and buckle it and become to be wavy. So what we did was about 3 months ago, in September, that's the area we changed. We saw cut it, we took it out, and we put that in. They couldn't run in that area. We had the caution tapes, they couldn't run, and they were all complaining. Another problem with that, it was not just the water coming from the roof and the windows, it also water coming from that little water fountain. That water fountain, it's some issues with it. It's the wrong place, wrong design from day one. That should be really outside, not inside, next to the hardwood. This is another area that I did about four years ago. And it's on the other side. It's not the same. And this patch we did, actually our guys did that. And still, it's constantly repatching and having a problem. So The scope of work, and the roof is leaking, that roof. At this area, we have no air conditioning, no fresh air, we have those old Nesbitt units, the four of them on the ceiling, that's pretty much fan in the heat. So this is a scope of work, that's a sum of the scope of work, architect, demolition entire area, put new roof, new gym floor, new partition, new windows, new scoreboard, new bleachers, new video sound system, new HVAC system, new electrical sprinkler system, and new lighting. So we go through the same process that we've been doing for a long time, and we do send to any architect that we know. We also trying to add to our library minority business owned, because we have a form now that goes to everybody to fill it out, so now we know who's minority, who's not. So those forms start coming. So as we go through this, you're going to see more minority business, and they at least getting the information. I mean, they might not bid, but they might be getting the information. Those are all the architectural firm that we send out from our office. And we did a walkthrough, and eight or nine architectural firms showed up, and I did explain the entire project to them. And these are the bids we received on Friday. January 20, we received the following bid. We received four bids. Gilbert Architect, $280,000. Tahre is $135,200. PZS at $194,400. And KCBA at $157,375. This was a very close bid. If you look at the overall, there was a fight over that, and the Gilbert blew it on that one, but everybody else on the bottom, that really, this is a good bet in our. So, for the admission recommend the lowest responsible proposal, it's not a bid, I'm sorry, the area architect for a total of $135,200 to design the gymnasium. Since the area architect didn't work for this school district, I contact all the references, they had an excellent reference. Another thing is most of this work, believe it or not, is a mechanical, electrical, roof is maybe minimal amount of architecture. So I make sure that they hire the engineers that we know. They've been doing a good work for us. They hired the engineer Schneider Hoffman, which is Gilbert uses Schneider Hoffman, KCBA uses Schneider Hoffman. They're a big company, and they know us very good. So they are hiring them too. And that was the minority business owned, woman business owned.
Questions, Mr. England.
And if it's in here and I missed it, I'm sorry. What is the timeline for this work? I mean, it has to go through design and construction, and what is your, when will this be finished, hoped for?
Well, we are talking to our state, actually talking to our principal and later directors and all that. Obviously, they'd like it to get it done before the basketball. That's the goal would be. Can we deliver that? It's going to be very difficult. It all depends how fast we can design and how fast we can do it. If we go through this, as soon as we hire the architect, we're going to put the cost estimate and also schedule, and then we can see it a little bit better. So how can we improve the schedule to deliver to them? Right now, we're talking about November.
November? Wow, so that's about an 8 months. Well, months to get things going, 6-7 months project to do these things.
The project would be about like 4 months.
Okay. But the design and all these things.
The board approval, design, bid.
Yeah.
About the bid for contractor to get it.
We did speak to the high school team, and in light of challenges we face in other projects, we did throw out the hypothetical that how would this significantly impact if indeed we were not able to deliver and we had to extend that another 35, 40 days? They indicated that that would not be optimal for them.
Right.
They will work to get that. They'll work through that challenge if it is the case, but it wouldn't be catastrophic in terms of the season. But their sheer, with the teachers that were part of the conversation and coaches who use the facility, their sheer desire to get a new facility overshadowed an additional 30 days of delays if that was the case. So we did say, we definitely want to do that for you by that window. Would you be negatively impacted if it stretched another 30, 40 days? They say they want the job done and that they would try really hard to work through that schedule and put that contingency plan in place. But we wouldn't want that to derail the moving forward.
So in terms of that, where are they going to practice and God forbid have to play games if it's not done? Are they looking for
all
alternatives?
All of that is through John Crane, the athletic director. Dr. McFall was part of that, and the gym teachers were part of that conversation. So they've been planning what that could look like. Hence the reason why I said, what if it's December?
Right.
Or can you push the contingency plan into December? And they felt that they could do that as they make the plans for September, October, November.
I think our coaches are so happy that we do this, that they will put up with anything. Just they keep saying, just go for it and try and get it done.
So last question. So June 2018, graduation in the Cheltenham rebuilt gym.
You're coming home.
Air conditioned gym.
Air conditioned gym. We're going to have it there. Sorry, Dr. Marston.
Okay, yes, it would definitely accommodate that.
Coming home, 2018.
Yes.
We're trying to run our business.
I just want to add, some of these projects that are on here, from the floor and some of the really basic elements of the gymnasium, these are things that Stephanie remember. We've been talking about probably as long as we've been on the board. The floor is way, way past its lifespan.
Yeah.
And actually is not only affects plays, but potentially dangerous. And some of the other things, the infrastructure, the HVAC, and all that kind of thing, I'm really happy that we're finally getting this done. I'm sure, knowing some of the teachers and knowing how long they've been waiting for that, they will be glad to flex and do what they have to do to make sure that it gets done.
Kind of follow on Mr. Ingram's question, how will this, how will this impact the phys ed classes and so
we, in speaking with the gym teachers, they said that they will create a PE schedule that provides the students the fitness curriculum that they need.
So they can work around it.
So they can say that they can work around that. And
I know they can go outside.
Yes. So they're hoping, in addition to a warm season, so to speak, in the fall, that they will be able to stretch that as far as they possibly can. And then they started going to contingency modes, and they're putting together a schedule right now to say, here's how we're going to cope with the gym experience September, October, November. And if we push it into the December, we ask them to do that as well, knowing that we are committed to getting them that facility in November, but understanding that Murphy's Law,
as we are finding out
with these things, that they were okay with stretching out their contingency plan through December and making that to make more. So they're already making plans because that's their
every
day. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
This is on the same line. I know that the one team that will be affected dramatically won't get any of the benefit of it is the girls' volleyball team.
Mm-hmm.
And their season is indoors and it's
yes.
in the fall, so they will. So would there be an alternative site where
yes.
they would practice
yeah.
and also
we haven't, I haven't spoken to John Creighton and his team with regards to where are the contingency plans. When we met to talk with him and his coaches and the PE teachers, they said their committee will form contingency plans and look for alternative locations for that. That's when I raised the concern saying, well, we want to get this to you as quickly as possible. What would happen if it seems like you can do it? They all agreed they can find that space to accommodate. that they agreed that if it, they could extend that to December if they needed to, but don't want to, but we're willing to do that. So we'll find, like we've tried to find alternative gym spaces with and facilities for, obviously the lack of fields at the Cedarbrook. It's been challenging, but we've been making do.
Dr. Bobby, thank you very much for providing all the information as well as the list of contractors who at least asked for the packages. I think that list is a much more expansive list than we've seen in the past. So reaching out to the minority and the minority businesses.
Any questions from the public? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to the last agenda item.
Last agenda item. The Cheltenham High School STEM classroom and laboratory modular and gym project. In the purpose to hire construction manager for a high school STEM classroom slash laboratory life skill and gymnasium renovation project, we just to look at the scope of work, is this work on all most of the both projects is going to happen on the second shift in the summer. And on the second shift, we need to have somebody to do a lot of construction management work, such as coordination, scheduling, safety, closeout document, reporting, inspection, and punches. These are just some of the work they would do a lot more work. So we are recommending the administration recommend authorization for the facility department to complete the RFE request for proposal and advertise for bid. To hire somebody to perform a construction management work for both projects at the same time. The scope of their work would be at the minimum of 6 months and the maximum 7 months. It all depends how they schedule what we go through. And we have a lot of projects going on. And then again, they would work with our principal for moving the classrooms and whatever they have to do. It would be another person that could help the principal and athletic directors and so forth during those time. And a lot of heavy works is going to happen. Those laboratories could be completely demoed and a lot of trenching maybe in the middle of the hallway. They're going to dig out and put a sewer line there. So a lot of work and it's be all coordinated.
Maybe Mr.
Rabbit.
What's the timeline on this?
We're getting, the schematic is completed for the first project, the STEM classroom. So we'd like to go, we open the bid maybe in April, and then the project on the summer, maybe we'd like to start like sometimes May, at least end of May or sometime in that area to go and finish the modular building, get that out of the way so we can go back.
Right.
And the other one is again, would be almost a little bit later, but not a whole lot later.
Okay.
I'm really hoping to cut up front of it from the schematic and design and go to the process as soon as we can so we can.
This wouldn't interfere at all with the students who were there from Cedarbrook.
No.
It would take place relatively the same over the program. Significant number of the work is over the summer. So come, at least for the classrooms and laboratories, we want to get into the mods as early as we can.
Yeah.
There's no one there, we can do that. But with regards to tearing the bathrooms apart, the three bathrooms there, and then the life skills that we're reshifting to better support our life skills students, or they're not making those particular trips for those who are mobile challenged all the way up the steps for the curriculum on apartment living and also the bathroom trips that they have to make. We know that come June, it's going to all hands on deck once the kids leave, and it's just that area is going to be obviously a construction site, and we need that construction manager there to help facilitate that process more effectively.
Where do we hold summer school now?
Summer school has been taking place in the library. There's been some revisions to the summer school curriculum with respects to how do we provide the needed support prior to those students So there's some intervention models that would mitigate the number of kids, but because it's an online platform, but we do provide a physical space where if students needed to get support, there will be teachers there, and that place is usually the library.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But that won't impact if they need to get access to that.
Questions from the public? That concludes the facilities meeting. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Business affairs meeting will begin.
Let's start at 10 after 8. Everybody get up and walk around. You sit too long.
This concludes this school board recording. This recording is copyright by KD3HW and is released for free distribution under the Creative Commons Attribution No Derivations 3.0 United States license. Podcast sounds courtesy of freesound.org. See the acknowledgement page of the podcast website. Thank you for downloading us, and have a great day.